Your parents have stock phrases, too, about food.
Yeah.
Parents have specific stock phrases that they use specifically for food. Harvest is in the fall. My mother-in-law, her stock was, because my wife would say, you know, when she was a girl, my wife, Laura, when she was a little girl, she would say, like, Mom, what's for dinner? And my mother-in-law's response was the same every single night, because if you're a parent, the jokes never get old. Her mom's response was, we're having boiled out stains of tablecloth. And then the mom would just walk off into the kitchen, like her comedic job accomplished. She would leave. My mom's stock response to that. I would ask my mother as a child, I would say, well, I'm really hungry. What's for dinner? And my mom would, or if I said I was really hungry, I would say, Mom, I'm really hungry. And my mom would say, nice to meet you. I'm Janine. And then, but then she would change it up sometimes. Like if I said, what's for dinner, Mom? Her response was always, pig's knuckles and hominy.
Yeah.
And then, like, walk off. And it doesn't even make any sense when you think about it. There's not really any reason why you would tell a child that, and yet she did. Good God Almighty, we have problems.
It just shuts them up, you know?
Just makes the question go away.
It does. For me, fast food is a twist-off cap.
With a name like Franzia, it's got to be good. I remember, okay, just one final food observation that will be done here. Here's the thing. When I lived in Southern California a few years back, I remember, because like Sarah, I regard boxed macaroni. Who was I talking to somebody? I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I forget who. I think it was my friend Joni was talking about this, where I was saying that the thing about growing up trash, which I did, about growing up as white trash, and Sarah's kind of white trash, sort of military trash, the thing about that is that when you become an adult and your tastes sort of become, not that I'm like all cosmopolitan, but your tastes become a little more sophisticated, I'm sorry. Sarah just tried to put trail mix into her mouth and wasn't able to do it, and it just spilled all over her. She just failed at being able to insert a peanut into her mouth. It's a good day here. No, but the thing about growing up and your tastes get a little bit more refined is that it works in reverse. Like if you are very poor and dumb and trashy, occasionally, you know, on a Friday night or dad gets a promotion or you got a little bit of money, you go somewhere that's a little bit upscale for a treat. For me, it works the opposite because my wife is very much a healthy eater most of the time and she likes to go to new places. We eat at a lot of places that she's read about in some magazine or whatever. And so for me, the big treat, the big exciting thing when I'm like, oh, I get this special dinner tonight, literally is when I get like Kraft macaroni and cheese right out of the box.
Or pizza.
It's a bizarre inversion of the way it normally works. Yeah, or like what I call a cardboard pizza, which is like that $2.99 thing they have at like the Ralph's. You know, it's
safe. I grew up in a housing project.
Right.
And we, on a good day, when my old man wouldn't gamble the money away, my mom would buy those little Genio pizza rolls.
Oh, dude, I love those.
And, you know, and on a Friday night, man, we were living large on Genio.
And my equivalent to that, not to share a hard luck story, but my equivalent to that when my mom, when she was going to be gone, because my parents both worked or were otherwise both gone, or my mom would be working and my dad would be at just places unknown for a few days. Kind of like yours, where he would just vanish with the paycheck and just come back covered in covered in dirt and alcohol. But my mom, her thing was she would get us those, like, Totoni's pizza. Same thing. It's like $1.99.
Yep.
And, man, that was, like, the best. And so I was conditioned as a child to think of just the dumbest, trashiest food as special. But the great thing about that is now as an adult, it takes so little to make me feel like I'm having a treat.
I hear you.
It really, it does wonders for your bank account.
I hear you.
Ah, God. But, yeah, but what my point, when I moved to Southern California, I remember the first time going to a Ralph's, which is sort of like, for folks up here, which is sort of like a Safeway. And I walked into Ralph's, and they had this thing that I'd never seen before, which was boxed macaroni and cheese, but it was white cheddar, which they now stock here, but they didn't at the time. Wow. And it was the first, and I looked at this. This is an amazing, what is this? And I took it home, and it was like the heavens had opened. And like it was like I had opened the seventh seal, and I had seen, you know, it was like a magical thing had been given to
me. Have you really been talking to Jim Roop about macaroni and cheese for 5 minutes?
Hey, you're the one who can't put trail mix in your face correctly.
I just separate them into piles.
Which, man. Do you label each one?
Sure.
Do you have to go wash your hands between each nut? Ow. Threw a raisin right in my eye. This program is going a little strangely.
Well, it is a Friday, sir.
It is true. Now, people ask us sometimes, they'll say, well, why do you have this guy from Los Angeles on all the time? And they say it with, they don't dislike him. No, they don't say, I'll get listeners, okay, people who have just tuned in, maybe they have just discovered the show. And they'll say, they won't complain, but they'll say, they're unclear that we're a Portland show, because they'll say, well, I thought you were based in Portland, but you were talking to some guy in Los Angeles about the LA News. Where are you based? And I will always explain that we have you on for two reasons. A, because you are comedy gold, sir, and a fantastic journalist. And B, because, as I constantly say, what starts in L.A. happens here 2 years later. And so talking to you gives you a real window into the future. Now, I got two things to talk to you about, one of which is this. Is this true that that illegal immigrants in California are... That the state is going to pay... They're going to be able to get financial aid and go to college?
If the bill clears the legislature. It already has cleared the Senate, and then it goes to the governor's desk. But yeah, if an illegal immigrant graduates from high school, and if they apply to a state-run university or college, they could be eligible to apply for financial aid.
See, here's what I don't understand. If I go to the store and I try to buy a bottle of, I try to buy a six-pack, they ask me for ID. If I don't have it, they take the beer back and they escort me to the door. If I go to the library and I'm going to check out, the Clifford the Big Red Dog. They ask me for the library card. I don't have it. They show me the door. Ask me to come back when I got a library card. How is it that you could get all the way through school and now presumably college when you're an illegal immigrant?
Because much like a crime victim has the least amount of rights, so do citizens. You hear me when I'm talking?
I do.
It is a nutty thing. And when you already give an illegal immigrant free high school education, and college is normally a choice because they're only required to go through the 12th grade.
Right.
At some point, you got to stop the handouts.
Yeah, well, so it would seem to me. It's just an odd process to think that when you show up for your first day of school, they say, all right, and ID, and you say, I don't have any. And they go, well, all right, we'll go on inside anyway. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just bizarre. I guess there's no rational explanation for it. I just want to make sure that I wasn't reading this incorrectly.
No, there is, but I don't think it'll pass because this is the same legislature, Gil Cedillo out of Los Angeles, the same state senator who has been trying to get that illegal immigrant driver's license thing passed for the past several years,
yeah.
And it keeps getting squashed.
Yeah.
And I don't think this will pass either. I think there's too much opposition with it, and if it does, it's going to be major upheaval, man.
Well, it's just nutty. I mean, and again, I like to be a tolerant person, but some things are just crazy. So.
I understand.
All right.
And then... need health care. People need, food stamp. I understand that program. You got to keep them healthy. But college is a whole different ballgame.
It's true. And then right below that, speaking of people who need health care, et cetera, right below that, I'm reading this now, bill headed for California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's desk would ensure the Department of Aging, and I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Sure.
The part of that sounds like a thing from Logan's Run or something. Or as soon as you turn 60, they fire...
Brian Green is people.
Yeah, they start chasing you with a gun. Consider this, the Department of Aging will consider the special needs of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender seniors.
Yeah.
And I guess it never occurred to me that transgender... First of all, that's an unpleasant mental image, a transgendered 75-year-old. But it never occurred to me that a transgendered senior, for example, would have special needs and services.
Well, the special needs you're talking about is the same. If you move to a senior living facility, they usually have programs or services if you're Jewish or if you're, whatever your ethnic background is or religious background is.
Right.
They usually have resources for you, services or like-minded people to hang out with. And they want the same thing for, your gay old folk.
You will note, by the way, that I am not taking the low road here, which would be so easy for a lesser radio host, and engaging in some sort of discussion about about ensuring access to the newest and most remastered Liza Minnelli box sets, etc. You will note that I am not making those observations.
Okay.
So, well, see, no, this is why I'm going to talk to you about these things because.
Well, my question to Equality California, the people that are. Backing this bill, I said, what special needs are there?
It is sort of interesting. I guess maybe I would know about it if I had both sets, but I don't. So it's just a...
And the only special needs they're talking about is so that if if a gay old man who loses his partner has to move into a senior living facility, he doesn't feel alone or feel afraid of discrimination or be afraid that if he asks at the front desk if they have one of these places, how do I get a hold of the local...
That seems fair, though. That seems like a fair point,
it's not that they get a special door to walk through.
Well, they get a special extra fluffy bed.
Everything is lavender in that hallway.
There you go. Now we're headed straight for a morning show somewhere.
I apologize.
But
LA guy on for.
No, I guess it's true, because you never know who you're talking to at the front desk. And you open your mouth and it's some Klansman working the desk, and that's going to work out badly. So.
Yeah, so they just want to make sure things are already in place, so the seniors who need that kind of stuff aren't afraid to ask for it.
Excellent. All right, Jim Roop, enjoy your weekend, my friend, and we will talk to you. Are you on Monday?
Yes, I am on Monday.
See, so are we. That's when we were cut from the same cloth, you and I, Jim. We're real men. We walk tall. We stand proud.
I plan on drinking my day through, though.
Well, so much the better. We'll give you the hotline.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. Real quickly, and then we get a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the City Desk with the Ministry of Truth. I'll go into this with the Week in Geek. It's not Friday, and the week is over. Yeah.
Aaron's coming in. Dang. We can't scorn you.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. Let's see. Hold on. That's one of those things where I have to, you know, because his wife and my wife hang out now, or his fiance and my wife hang out now. Well, not all the time.
How come I'm not invited?
Not all the time. But, I mean, you know, enough that it's, you know, they talk, they email. I don't know. Are you really into knitting?
No.
Well, there you go. Anyway, I gotta play. So that's what I hear. You know, I don't want to hear about it. Ring, blame it. You know, and then Jen will punch me. Real quick, I gotta throw. So here's what they're giving us the option of at the vending machine. Because the guy who stocked our vending machine is a listener, and so he said if we made the secret mark next to these things, he would
crackers.
Well, right. Fine, I'll write it down. Goldfish
secret mark.
Secret mark. The Masonic mark. Hold on. Who writes stuff like this down? I want some non-carbonated flavored water. Shut your trap. Drink regular water and shut the hell up. Non-carbonated flavored water. That's Kool-Aid is what that is. Kool-Aid is non-carbonated flavored water. Really, when you think about it, anything other than water is really non-carbonated flavored water. Coffee is non-carbonated flavored water when you really think about it. Everything other than soda is non-carbonated flavored water. Jesus. Goldfish crackers. Crackers. All right. There you go. And I put the secret mark next to him. All right. Take a break. Come back. It's 503-733-2970. Hot tamales. Who is it that eats hot tamales? Do you know anybody? That's like an Ike and Mike or whatever the hell that is. Who do you know that wakes up in the middle? You know what I need is a big box of Ikes and Mikes. It's like that. It's like when you're in a hotel and there's that one bottle of Schweppes tonic water. Who buys that out of the vending machine? No one. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this, it's AM 970 Solid State Radio on the way. We'll talk about movies. We got the Week in Geek, which I was going to play here, but that's not going to happen. Later on, Bo Peel knows Tim Riley. You stay there. Nothing but Scotty reading news for hours. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Thank you for coming by. I never did get to this headline about the human cannibal missing the target. Well, we'll get to that. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. People asking about the... about this, the Lana sounder. Yeah, we have already got one submission using this the Lana sounder.
And can we hear it?
Well, he says, let me read here. Rick, please don't mention my name or email or any association with this damn song that I've sent you. I'm just a friend of the evil leeches. I don't know what that means. Anyway, it's a bad gothic rock song with Delana crying. It is less than 90 seconds. It contains no profanity. Huh. Let me look at the...
Well, if Dustin came for Fanny, we'll just give out his email address over there.
Thank you. I've got the lyrics. Well, see, it sounds a little distorted, though. Well, we'll play it after. We'll do a couple news stories and we'll play it. It's a song. It's a song called Delana's Blubbering Goth Rock. And it's, well, I guess he doesn't want himself identified, though, so we won't. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Jessica Simpson sang for the first time since injuring a vocal cord a week ago, but only made it through one song before her voice croaked. She croaked her way through I Belong to Me on the Today Show this morning, but when it came time to hit a high note, her voice cracked. She paused for a moment and said, "All right, I tried that one." Matt Lauer replied, "This is going to be one of the most nerve-wracking things you've ever done in your life. I busted a blood vessel in my vocal cord."
I don't want to hear that. You know, anything that involves breaking a blood vessel anywhere is, and I know that you do that constantly throughout the day and you don't even really realize it, but that's a phrase that I don't really need to hear. All right.
With tears welling in his eyes, Bob Schieffer finally concluded his 18-month tenure as anchor of the CBS Evening News with an emotional in.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Are these sound cuts?
Yes, they are.
Now, let's see. I'm not entirely sure that the second rack loaded. Let me check here. No. No, for some reason, we've run into this problem where the rack A loads and rack B does not. I just loaded it, and it's only loading. It just reloaded A into B.
That's ridiculous.
Makes sense. It's poppycock is what it is.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
I'll talk to Will about it after the show today. No, we have two. It's only ever loading the one rack here. But I did read about it. Didn't he do something? It was like some handoff.
Yes.
Where he was just like, "And hello, Katie," and "Hi."
She introduced a video tribute to him, and then he paid tribute to her, and then she paid tribute to him, and then he played tribute to her.
And it all starts on September 4th. I can't imagine, or September 5th, what is Tuesday?
I'm not sure what day it starts.
Which is hilarious, since they're running the promos like 50 times an hour.
I haven't noticed.
They probably just ran one. Because I think the sound is, it's Katie Couric going, "I think news is really important, and war is bad." And then the guy, Katie Couric.
Well,
I don't know why I'm here.
You still have the Kira Phillip.
Does my ass look big? Katie Couric starts. So there you go. All right. Well, be watching Katie Couric whenever it is she starts to. Here's what a bad CBS employee I am. I don't even know what time that news airs, let alone what date it starts.
Oh, that's because it's on coin.
What are you? Sarah's like hiding. You don't care anymore. Everybody who
I have to go back next week and get up super early in the morning to train the new traffic girl.
It took them that long to find a new traffic girl?
Yeah.
There hasn't been traffic since you left there.
They have to train someone?
Yeah.
That job takes training, no offense. But I mean, it was. But that is a question. I don't mean this disrespectfully because I know that you were on camera and you did the thing, but I mean.
What did I do?
Weren't you just standing in front of a green screen reading copy?
No, I had to. That was all. It's unscripted.
That was pure Sarah. Okay. Really? No, forgive me because
no,
I
that's okay.
figured it was
no,
a teleprompter.
Every morning, no, I'd get up and during every break, I'd reprogram all the cameras and then put all the fonts on for the cameras that I picked.
Really?
Aren't there people working there that do that?
Nope. It was me.
Oh, how sad. Well, the cameras are all just robotic now. I mean,
yeah, so I'd change the cameras, program them, do all the fonts and whatnot, and then, yeah, it all had to be.
Don't get me wrong, but that's just sad that they didn't have anybody there to do that.
Yep.
Oh, God. All right. Well, yeah, there you go. See, I mean, dumb question, though. Why wouldn't they just have it on a teleprompter for you?
I don't know.
Well, there you go.
There wasn't anyone there to run the teleprompter.
It's true.
Some mornings there wasn't.
They've been fired via text message. Did you read that there was somebody in Britain? Now in Britain, they're actually now firing not just email but text message, which I guess is an even more casual way to do it. Eventually, they'll just be putting it on billboards somewhere. Sarah, don't come into work. So who are you training? Do you know who it is?
I don't know. She sounds really nice. Her name is Jenny, and she sounds British or something.
Interesting.
They'll break her spirit within a week.
She'll be weeping open within the first month.
I know, and I feel bad. I should be more interested because they kept calling me yesterday.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, I wanted to go out last night. I didn't want to, wake up at 4 a.m.
Who cares? You're gone. You're done with that place. I mean, I'm just saying, like, who?
No.
Don't worry about it. Jay, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Jay, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk about a song for Delana.
Okay.
You could take her sobbing and put that at the start of the Sweet Leaf song by Black Sabbath.
Right. Oh, that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, oh, wait, do I have the actual? So we could. So you're saying instead of the Aussie coughing.
Right.
It would actually be Delana. Hold on, we have the with the. Oh no, that's true. That would totally work. Yeah, that would totally work. Well done, sir. All right, thank you.
And also, I want to say I can't remember the last time I laughed at somebody else crying, but every time I hear that, it makes me laugh.
Well, that's what we do, sir. All right, thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Chris.
Somebody sent me an audio clip of, I don't have it here, but if it really slowed down. And it's all like, and it sounds like an ogre. Here's Tim Riley.
Now for the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Friday right here on the Rick Emerson Radio.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no, we're doing it the other way now.
Okay.
I think the short one.
I think I did it again.
It's just retarded.
Well, it's being rumored that Britney is expecting a baby girl.
Oh, life ruined. Already pregnant, probably.
This, according to TMZ.
They can't afford to be pregnant when it comes out. Pregnant and smoking.
So gross.
You know that it's true.
Yeah, it's true that the baby's going to be pregnant and smoking.
Spears has registered with L.A. baby boutique Petite Prisoner.
Something French.
And has been buying up fluffy pink clothes for her as yet unborn baby. The store's register shows Britney's list has included ruffles, roses, and bows. That's a bassinet by Lulia Smith, as you know, which cost $1,100. A soft white Bonnet Nuit crib for $2,200.
God.
And a fatso pink stuffed animal. Oh, an animal elephant for a mere $65.
Nothing says tastes like lots of pink. There's nothing worse than white trash with money. Do you know what I mean? And I'm allowed to say that. I don't even have a lot of money. I have nothing. My home is the largest object. Home, I have no home. The largest object of decoration, objet d'art, in my house.
It's like an entertainment center thing going on.
I have some press board stuff that my DVD player sits on. I was going to say the largest single item of decoration in my house is a plaster bust of John F. Kennedy.
That you bought, that we were supposed to give away.
That I bought for $12 at a Goodwill.
No, that we were going to give away as a prize at a listener party.
Yeah,
and then I decided
to put it in my living room. That's what my living room is decorated by. There you go. So, but when white trash people get money, it's just, it's like perfume on a pig. You know, there's just no, it never, ever, ever works out. And you know that kid is doomed. Doomed. Oh, speaking of celebrity kids, have you seen any of the pictures of or interviews with Frances Bean Cobain?
No.
It's so weird because she appears to have, the Nirvana fans have got to be all disappointed because she's just being interviewed in like Tiger Beat magazine and talking about, I like things that are pink and frilly. You know, what are you listening to? I'm listening to Beyonce, and she's totally come out as like the anti, like the antithesis of what all those grunge idiots loved. All right, there you go. There's your Britney Watch for Friday, right here on the Rick Emerson.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
I'm sorry. Good God Almighty. Good God, yo.
Scotty's finest work.
Really? That is your stairway to heaven. You'll never top it, Scotty. It's all downhill from here. Here's Tim Riley.
Portland has been named the most dog-friendly city in the U.S., according to Dog Fancier magazine. The City of Roses and Dogs beat 61 other nominated cities. With more than 136,000 canines, Portland owned top status as the best place for dogs to live.
Damn straight.
The editor will travel to Portland to present the Dogtown USA 2006 plaque to Mayor Harry Potter. The canine block party will follow from 10 to 2 in Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Fantastic. All right. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
So, I'm in Canada listening to the traffic report, and I'm really happy that the traffic report here in the United States is not like that, because it was something to the effect of...
I'm confused. Are you in Canada now?
No, I this is one of those, so I'm in Canada stories.
Oh, like, so a rabbi walks into a bar. Okay, so I'm in Canada.
Yeah,
okay,
it's one of those things like, a rabbi, a priest, and a clown walk into a bar, and the bartender says, what is this, some sort of joke?
Hello.
Well, we're losing your call.
Can I hear you now? Good.
Okay, finish. What is it you have to say, sir?
So, the Canadians, the way that they report the traffic is, yeah, so there's a lot of vehicles out on the roadway today, but if you keep a good attitude, you'll persevere.
Really?
That's the traffic report, I swear to you. Followed by a Sleep Country Canada, why buy a mattress anyplace else ad?
Really? Is it like a Sleep Country Canada? Why buy a mattress anywhere else? Eh?
If you're on another planet, exactly that.
That's pretty great. I like the idea of doing like a Zen traffic, though, of just sort of a Buddhist sort of. Mm-hmm. There are many.
They show you some pictures of cars on roads and.
But, I mean, but that's, you know, there are many roads and many destinations. The path you are on is where you shall arrive.
It's just, you know, a bunch of closers going many kilometers.
Hold on, Sarah just cut herself with the knife. Are you playing Mumbledy Peg or something over there?
No, I think it explodes.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to find some gangsta out there.
That's it. So there's not a lot of training in traffic.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. No. Okay. Thank you.
Rick?
There we go. Lost
it. Close.
Sarah's now handing me a knife.
There's got to be some push button on there. Isn't that one of those switchblades?
I really feel like...
West Side Story?
There you go. I say we hold it the way we've always held it, baby John, with skin. Sorry. You say West Side... No, you just say that and it just starts prompting all kinds of West Side storylines. Easy action. Here's Tim Riley.
A man has admitted to assaulting a woman by pouring a basin of vomit over her head.
Oh, ho, ho! Zing! Why was this in the lunchtime hour?
I don't know.
That's fantastic. A basin of vomit?
Yes. James Russell carried out the attack following an... alcohol-fueled argument.
No, really? An alcohol and raw pork-fueled argument.
The victim was holding the basin when Russell took it from her and tipped its contents over her head. Sheriff Kenneth Stewart, gave him 6 months and told him to be good. Apparently,
I'm not following this
okay,
story.
This is written in Scottish.
What is written in Scottish sound
this
like?
This whole story. Well, the verbs and the pronouns seem to be sideways and backwards. Contrary to the way we speak in America.
Okay.
Well, I think we've got the gist of the story.
So it's presumably a haggis type vomit, too.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Well, really, what else do you need to know? What I don't understand is, what scenario would be in where you do you keep a bucket of vomit handy just in case somebody, like, you become cross with someone? Was the vomit fresh?
We don't know.
Let's not think about it anymore.
No.
All right, there you go.
Maybe it was stored.
Stored vomit.
No,
like you store a snowball from the winter so you can throw it at a guy in the summer?
That girl I knew in college who had plastic baggies full of vomit outside of her window.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. I don't think I remember hearing about this.
Yeah.
Why? Was it to keep dogs from peeing on the lawn?
No, because she was totally bulimic and she didn't want her roommates to know. So she'd throw up into plastic baggies and throw
them
outside of her window.
Well, that didn't work out, clearly.
Well, no, then they cleaned the shrubbery behind her room and found, like, tons of plastic baggies.
Oh, God. Imagine being that guy.
Yeah.
That's like having to clean underneath the bleachers. God. Oh, so it wasn't just down on the lawn. It was, like, behind some shrubs.
Yeah, no, it was her secret shame behind the shrubs.
My secret shame behind the shrubs. The Sarah Dillon story.
No, the
it was
George
not
Michael
Sarah
story.
Dillon that did that. It was a different girl. All right, here's the George Michael story. Here's Tim Riley.
It's time for Democracy on the March.
Here's your Democracy on the March.
Many American adults believe certain passengers should be searched or questioned based on their background or appearance. According to a poll, 60% of the respondents believe authorities should be able to single out people who look like they might be of Middle Eastern origin to prevent terrorism. On August 10th, London's Metropolitan Police Service announced more than 20 people have been arrested in connection with an alleged terrorist plot. According to the authorities, the group planned to destroy airplanes flying from Britain to the U.S. by detonating bombs manufactured with materials that would be bought on board as part of the passengers' carry-on luggage.
Well, here's why this doesn't make any sense. And I'm not going to deny that. I mean, we talked the other day about that. There's that thing. Was it somebody? It literally was like Betty White or somebody that we always make fun of. They got taken out and like given an extra wanding somewhere behind a curtain because, it's just random routes, random search. Betty White, sorry, you have to bend over now. And it was somebody that clearly is not a terrorist. So I all I'm saying is, here's why this doesn't make any sense. And Christopher Hitchens had a great article in Slate about this. That the retarded thing about this airline security is that the government, because they're morons, they themselves tell everybody. And so, again, let's be clear that I am not revealing anything that hasn't already been revealed by our own government in the press, that they tell the terrorists what the exceptions to the security rules are. In other words, they say, look, you can't bring any liquids on the plane because people are smuggling explosives in them. So there will be no liquids on the plane except for breast milk. So, you know, or there will be no liquids on the plane except for something from your doctor that you have a note for. As though a terrorist is somehow incapable of getting a doctor's note. It does seem to me like if you are a terrorist and you're capable of pulling off a multi-stage, multinational, multi-person air attack, probably getting a note that looks like it's from a doctor is not all that difficult. So the idea that the government goes out of their way to actually announce on the air ways to get around their own rules indicates the retarded nature of all of these restrictions, just like with this. So if the government announces that they're going to start profiling people of Middle Eastern extraction, it just violates the whole point, because all that does is it announces to them ways that they can get around.
They get a skin peel.
Well, yes, exactly. You just get a good... What you need is a good bleaching. So, I mean, as I said, I've already got sort of a preemptive irritation about it, whatever, when I'm going to have to fly. I'm thinking about, here's what I'm going to do. I say this while looking at the knife, which I will not be taking on the plane. I'm thinking about, what do you think of this? Just a T-shirt with no decoration, nothing. Just a T-shirt that just says in huge letters, I am not a terrorist. And just wear that to the airport. I wonder if they'd let me on with that.
They'll let you do the express line.
Okay, but why not? See, I was talking to Lara about this. And this is not, I'm not trying to be a troublemaker. I'm really not. It's actually one of those intellectual arguments that I kind of enjoy, though. I do wonder that. So, I mean, if I wish I could get somebody from the airport to answer this. It's tempting to do it just to see
because
what they would do.
Because it's probably, just seeing the word terrorist, they'll probably say would make some people
no,
panic.
No, but I'm saying that I'm
I don't
not.
Think they'll engage you intellectually in the line.
I am, but if I'm just noting with the shirt that I am not a terrorist in any way. In no way am I terroristic in my intent. In no way am I causing any trouble. The shirt very clearly and succinctly would state simply that I, Rick Emerson, not a terrorist. It's almost worth doing it just to hear their little brains overheat as they try to explain to you why you couldn't wear it. It really is tempting to do. In fact, you know, I got to tell you, if Storm gets kicked off this week, thus meaning that she will not be performing on the day that I'm supposed to be there, but I may actually just do it just so I can see what their reaction to it is. The whole thing just amuses me. Just the idea. No, I would just because I want to see their little rodent brains get tied in knots as they try to explain why it's unacceptable. Because there's really no logical explanation. There's no legal explanation for it either. There's in no way is there any legal justification for it. Did you hear about that guy? There was a guy last week, and it was in Ithaca or someplace like that, where they wouldn't let him on the plane because he had a shirt that had Arabic writing on it. And it said, yes. Like, you know, one world, one peace or whatever. But it was in Arabic, and they're like, take the shirt off. And he's all like, well, no, it just says peace. They're like, doesn't matter, no Arabic shirts on the plane. So, that's what I'm saying. That is your world. That is your country. So
I don't fly anymore anyway. These folks just took the fun out of everything.
Just gonna take a covered wagon. Here's Tim Riley.
An Oregon man gets a fourth sentence in underwear theft.
Is this the panty bandit?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Tim. 39-year-old Target man who stole college women's underwear sentenced to, one more time for the thefts. After the fourth part of his four-county traveling roadshow, he faces a total of 11 years in prison.
He's coming to your town, kids.
In Benton County, Judge Janet Holcomb sentenced him to 31 months in prison for burglary, charges stemming from the theft of underwear and other personal items from Oregon State University residences in 2004.
That's the kind of unnerving thing when they say underwear and other personal items.
He had previously been sentenced in Washington, Yandell, and Multnomah counties. You and Dong Kim were at Wednesday's hearing.
Are you a Jew and Dong Kim?
Where their son quietly apologized. Jew said her son is mentally ill. Oh, I guess Jew is the mother. And he's having a difficult time in prison with it all.
Yeah, well.
But there's only men's underwear there. He says most of the time he stays in the cell with a cellmate who is also mentally ill.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't laugh alone at that. I'm so glad Sarah laughed with me there. Boy, that's a TV show just waiting to be happened.
He's getting medication, but it just isn't enough.
That's right there. He's a panty bandit, and she's mentally ill. They're in prison together. Why would you put two mentally retarded guys in a jail cell together?
They're plotting right now, right?
Seriously, man. Mark Burnett, I can hear his hands at work.
Benton County prosecutors say Kim targeted
the swim team. I bet they're trying to plot, but they can't understand each other.
They labeled underwear and personal hygiene items with the name of the women from whom they were stolen. He also photographed himself wearing some of the underwear.
Oh, okay.
Prosecutors say that behavior, along with thousands of violent pornographic images downloaded onto his computer, is evidence that he has a violent obsession.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
So, Ju and Dong's boy are
having a lot of fun. I wonder if they get into arguments in the cell with each other. Oh, God damn. What a strange world this is. Here's Tim Riley.
So, well, it's time for the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch. Friday.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energized.
J.K. Rowling has been forced to correct a plot blunder in a Harry Potter book, if your fans spotted it. The author credits Hermione Granger with the 11 top exam results in the first hardcover edition of Book 6, Harry Potter and the Half-Blooded Prince. But in Book 5, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, we are told she makes 10 examinations. Oh, she takes 10 examinations. Publishers Bloomsbury have corrected the paperback edition to give Hermione 9 outstanding and 1 exceeds expectations in ordinary wizard-like levels. Whatever I just said.
The best part about this story is, stories like this function to make Sarah and I seem relatively normal. Because I've read all the Harry Potter books, I've seen all the movies, I will undoubtedly stand in line like
And they're making you wear a dunce cap in the picture, which doesn't make any sense.
Look at that. They've pasted a dunce cap onto J.K. Rowling's head. Because we're totally dorks for that book, but you know, but at least we didn't really, when you're spotting errors, mm-hmm. when you're spotting sort of consistency errors and continuity errors in Harry Potter books, you've really taken it to some whole other level. Our good friend Diana downtown. Hey, what's up, sister?
Well, you know, Sarah's got this knife. She's not a trained killer.
I am.
I can give it a good home.
How did I know this was about the knife?
Oh, come on. Well, because it's probably on the screen.
Yeah, no, it's... Yep. It really is great, too. This knife
How
is
did you get it unstuck?
I just closed it. It wasn't... There's no lock on it. You just... It's not like one of those Duke Boys knives. Something.
Oh, so it's not a lockback?
No, I don't know. Really, don't take this the wrong way. You're so much more of a man than I am in many ways. I got to keep it closed because I would undoubtedly cut one of my hands off by the end of the day.
Did you see me drop it and almost hit my foot?
That was the best part. Dropped it while it was open. And I look over and Sarah's just sort of recoiling in horror as the knife is plunging toward the ground.
I need to come and take that off your hands, dear ones.
Since you feel that
I
there's going to be...
open it.
It seems like what... Here's the thing, is it seems like what...
You can't have a knife if you can't open it.
Whatever we do with this knife, it's going to not be left in the studio over the weekend, because that's a thing that's going to work out badly somehow, especially for me. That's a thing where I will be in Laura Klein's office on Monday.
Okay, so I've got an hour
we'll,
over there.
Well, right? We'll drop you a note. We'll drop you an email. All right, there you go. Thank you. Diana from downtown. Spit a hair!
We can auction it off for children.
Yeah. Knives for newborns. Note to self. That's right after I do the I Am Not a Terrorist shirt. Let's do one more, and then we'll break. We'll come back with some other stuff. Here's Tim Riley. There you go.
The hammer by the Sons Thank of you. Warband. I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Well, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have yet to show their baby daughter off in public, but eager fans were given an unusual preview with a chance to see a bronze cast depicting her first solid stool sample. The sculpture, more doo-doo than da-da, was purportedly cast from a 19-week-old series first bowel movement. It will be shown at a gallery in Brooklyn, New York, to be auctioned off for charity. The artist behind the work, Daniel Edwards, previously courted controversy with a Lifetime news sculpture of prop star Britney Spears giving birth on a bearskin rug. The work was shown at the same gallery in April.
By the way, we've talked about this before, but we mentioned this at the top of the hour. But
so far, it has a bid of $41.
If you look at that bronze statue of Suri's leavings of the cruise baby, again, there's something wrong with the baby, I think, because...
Very huge!
It really... It's true. We're talking really about... It is bigger than a bread box. Secondly, that statue of Britney Spears... pushing out a baby on a bearskin rug is among the most horrifying and horrible things I have ever seen in my life. And that alone is what makes it impossible. I think we're at a point where I can never again find Britney Spears sexually attractive, ever. Ever. I don't know what she could do.
Get a new publicist and dye her hair a different color. I think there's possibility.
Oh, man, have you seen that the thing now where she's going around with the jet black hair?
Yes.
Oh, that's no good. Hey, by the way, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac here, are your toenails discolored? And there's a whole, and it's another one of those where you think it's something else. They're showing discolored toenail, but it looks like something much more horrible. And then right next to that, the ad right next to somebody sent me, maybe they meant this for Dave Paul, the 2007 Old Farmer's Almanac. And so, not only got a toilet that incinerates your waste, they sell extra wide clothing. And then right here, they sell one of those things, those lifts that attaches to the banister, the staircase in your home, like that woman in Gremlins. So if you're unable to walk, you can just sort of strap yourself right into there. Just take you right up the stairs. Visit our showroom. He doesn't really specify exactly how you could visit their showroom if you can't actually even walk up a stair by yourself, but. I guess you're sort of supposed to figure that part out on your own. All right. Later on, perhaps bottom of the hour, we'll do a little more news from the City Desk with Tim Riley. Let's take a break. Let me do the Week in Geek, though, as we go into this. Play the Week in Geek. We will come back. Scott Daly and Aaron Durant of Film Fever stayed with Sarah Dillon on the way as well. And the Onion Radio News address from George W. Bush. You stay there. We're back after this on The Rick Emerson Show.
And now, The Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Hey, this is Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com with this week's completely groovy edition of The Week in Geek.
Groovy.
In his new book, Are You a Geek? 10,000 Ways to Find Out, Tim Collins asks the hard questions. Like which Battlestar is the one true Galactica, and who would win in a drag-down Thunderdome fight, Samuel L. Jackson or Bruce Campbell? I think we all know the answer to that quandary.
Hail to the king, baby.
Star Trek has helped Australian PhD DeJoyme Baker earn the highly coveted Chancellor's Prize, officially making Star Trek an item of historical and academic significance. It is only a matter of time before your friend the neighborhood geek is teaching the economics of the red shirt, a study in renewable resources.
Give me some sugar, baby.
And finally this week in Portland, Oregon, absolutely nothing is going on. So if you would like your geek event covered in the Week in Geek, drop me a line at news@geekinthecity.com. I'm Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, reminding you that Occam's razor can be circumvented by Heisenberg compensators. Good God, I'm a nerd.